Hello, this is Pastor Stephen Simpson, and I'm reading my January 2026 pastoral letter. The title of this month's letter is Finding Your Purpose. Well, Happy New Year. I hope it's going well for you so far. I want to let you in on a little secret. Don't tell anybody. I cried a little bit the other night. They were tears of gratitude and joy. Our daughter, Victoria Grace, received her master's degree in clinical mental health counseling from Wake Forest University. Go Deeks. This was the next major step in what has been a 14-year odyssey for her. We praise God for this milestone. Her work takes her into schools where she counsels children who have experienced developmental challenges or traumas in their young lives. You know, this has been a theme in her life for many years. She loves the children that she works with, and they love her. She is living in God's purpose for her life. What a blessing. As we enter into 2026, I want to share a little about walking in God's purpose for our lives. This is a time of year when many of us pause. We hit that reset button for our focus, our relationships, our schedules, our activities, our diets, our exercise, and new ideas. We give ourselves to extended prayer and fasting, scripture reading, and seeking the Lord for His presence, His power, and His purpose. There is great joy in discovering God's purpose and walking in it. In those times when you can say, "This is what I was born to do. This is why I'm here." Even better is when you hear the Father say to you, "Well done." Many of you know that I'm a major film buff. I've always been fascinated by the history of cinema, studied a lot about it in college. One of my favorite movies of all time is Chariots of Fire, the 1982 Academy Award winner for Best Film. It's based on the true story of two Olympic gold medal runners, Eric Little and Harold Abrahams. There's a great line in the film where Little says to his sister, "God made me for a purpose, but He also made me fast. And when I run, I feel His pleasure." Sitting in a darkened theater in late 1981 as a young man who had just entered college, that line from the film struck me like lightning. Earlier in that year, I had graduated high school, and I had accepted God's calling for me in ministry. As I watched the film, I thought, what is it that I can do that would let me feel God's joy? Jesus, the Son of God, knew Father's joy. It was and is His life purpose. Jesus said this in John 6:29. "He who sent me is with me." I'll say it again. "He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him." Jesus was laser focused on His life purpose, to always do those things which please the Father. The key to doing Father's will is walking in constant awareness of Father's presence. God doesn't simply give us purpose. He is our purpose. King David, who sometimes wrote prophetically about Jesus, said this, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope, for You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will You allow Your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore." David wrote that in Psalm 16:7-11. I love this. He says, "In your presence is fullness of joy. We must never allow ourselves to think that God's purpose is in any way separate from God's presence. His presence goes before us, beside us, and behind us to guide us and to strengthen us, to empower us for his purpose. When that reality finally dawns upon our consciousness, something happens in our hearts. Hope and strength are renewed. We are lifted out of our valleys on the wind of the Holy Spirit, and we soar into places that our own feet could never take us alone. God's presence is not only around us, but by the Holy Spirit, he lives within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's amazing. The one who holds all of the cosmos in the palm of his hand lives within our hearts through his miraculous grace in Christ Jesus. Let me talk for a minute about God's will. The key for doing God's will isn't more or better New Year's resolutions. It is dwelling in his presence, even as his presence dwells in you. Let me just make an aside. That word dwelling is not the same as weekly visiting. Dwelling is a permanence. The Apostle Paul says this in his letter to the Christ followers in Rome. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. You can find that in Romans 8:11. We read this simple but powerful truth in Nehemiah 8:10 also. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How does that work? The whole glorious truth is beyond our human comprehension. But when I begin to realize that my sins are forgiven in Christ, I am restored to right relationship with the Lord. He reveals his purpose to me, and he fills me with his joy and strength. Whenever I stumble or fall, which is, believe it or not, more than you might imagine, I can call on the name of Jesus. I can repent, that is, turn away from my sin, and I can experience his restoration afresh. His mercies are new every morning. Walking with the Lord in his will brings joy to both him and to us. He gives us his joy out of the overflow of his heart. Now, you know what it's like to experience joy. Can you imagine the joy of the Lord? Can you imagine when God is joyful? The boundless measure of his joy. And he gives that to us. This is when we are living life to the fullest. It's like a runner who breaks the tape at the finish line, or a mountain climber who summits a tall peak. There's never been any daylight between the will of the Father and the will of Jesus, who is our model when it comes to walking with the Father and being a light to others. John 6:35 through 40 says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So here's Jesus being crystal clear on his purpose, that is, to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus was sent. he was sent by his father. I'm reminded of the praise song we used to sing a lot back in the olden days of the 1990s. Lord, I lift your name on high. And it says this, you came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, and from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. That song was written way back in 1989 by Rick Doyle Founds. Jesus completed his mission on earth and he gave it to us. He filled us with the Holy Spirit and he said, you will be my witnesses. You can read that in Acts 1. Jesus, the sent one, now sends us into his mission, the Missio Dei. We are part of his kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And by the way, when the world thinks of Christians today, do they see righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit? Is that really the first thing that people in the world see when they think of the church, particularly here in America? I'll let you just pause for a second and think about that. Wherever we go, whatever we do, whomever we are with, at all times, we are to be on mission. To quote the Blues Brothers, we're on a mission from God. Our dear late friend Gary Henley said, many churches talk about missions, but in reality, there is only one mission, and God gave it to all of us. I sure do miss Gary. He was a great friend and mentor, and he served this ministry for many years. I want to talk to you now about a word that we hear a lot in certain circles. It's a good word. I like it. It's the word missional. Missional. We are sent ambassadors of Christ's kingdom. We are sent ambassadors of Christ's kingdom rather than any one nation or political movement. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said that in John 18:36. Well, I really love the teaching of author and seminary professor Alan Hirsch. He's the founder of Forge Mission Training Network. He is really the person who brought forth the word missional and made it so well known among many churches and movements. This is what Alan Hirsch wrote, and I've been privileged to hear him say this in person on a couple of occasions. A proper understanding of missional begins with recovering a missionary understanding of God. By his very nature, God is a sent one who takes the initiative to redeem his creation. This doctrine, known as Missio Dei, the sending of God, is causing many to redefine their understanding of the church. Because we are the sent people of God, the church is the instrument of God's mission in the world. As things stand, many people see it the other way around. They believe mission is an instrument of the church, a means by which the church is grown. Although we frequently say the church has a mission, according to missional theology, a more correct statement would be, the mission has a church. Many churches have mission statements and talk about the importance of mission. But where truly missional churches differ is in their posture toward the world. A missional community sees the mission as both its originating impulse and its organizing principle. A missional community is patterned after what God has done in Jesus Christ. In the incarnation, God sent his Son. Similarly, to be missional means to be sent into the world. We do not expect people to come to us. This posture differentiates a missional church from an attractional church. Alan Hirsch wrote all of that in Christianity Today Leadership Journal in the fall of 2008. And it's every bit as true today as it was then. So, therefore, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. Therefore, we live in this world, but not of this world. You can go and read John chapter 17, Romans chapter 12, James chapter 4 to see these truths. So this is very important, what I'm about to say, and not that everything I haven't said isn't important, except the Blues Brothers part. Listen to this. We can be ambassadors for Jesus on Wall Street, Main Street, at schools, at factories, at grocery stores. We can be ambassadors for Jesus when we're sweeping streets. We can even be ambassadors for Jesus at our churches. Many church people need Jesus, am I right? Since 1969, CSM Publishing has emphasized our covenant relationship with God in Christ and with one another, as well as the gospel of the kingdom of God. In 1986, wow, 40 years ago, we began publishing a 7-volume Bible study curriculum with a total of 126 lessons. This curriculum is entitled The Covenant and the Kingdom. Eventually, these 7 volumes were combined into one book and published worldwide in many languages and taught in many schools and churches. We are now developing an app for phones, tablets, and computers. We hope to have it available in 22 languages. The work on this project is intense. The cost to develop it, while continuing on with our other ministry projects and resources, are high. This won't come cheaply. Given our health battles and our financial stresses as a ministry in 2025, it may not seem to make sense for us to be stepping out into such a major project. Also, we're not a large ministry. We don't have a large staff. But you know what? The writer of Hebrews reminds us this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That's in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. So something that we do not yet hold in our hands, something that is not yet tangible reality, nonetheless, we have seen it by faith. We have seen it. We have seen God's provisions, even though our bank account doesn't show it. But we've already seen by faith God's provision that He has purposed us to do this, that He desires us to do it. He's called us to do it. And He who called us is able to provide all of our needs according to His riches and glory. We believe that. As I'm sitting here talking to you right now, I don't have a copy of the Covenant and Kingdom looking at me on my phone. I can't scroll through that right now. But by faith, I will see it, and you'll see it, and people around the world will see it. I would ask you to prayerfully consider standing with us, supporting us in your prayers. My Lord, we need prayer. We need intercessors to call on the name of the Lord on our behalf, to also stand with us in finances, not only today, but throughout 2026, as we carry out this and other major steps of faith. Would you consider praying about that? And please share any prayer requests that you have for your own life or for your friends or family. Share those with us. We love you, and we pray that you'll have a very blessed and happy new year. Thank you again. This is Stephen Simpson, president of CSM Publishing.